Is it? Yeah, I suppose it is, really. I thought that was going to say it's the all-new Pei Chen show, and then I was going to say, Pei's not here, I'm here, but I guess I just did, in that convoluted gabble. 8:06 is the time. My name is Vinny. I'm not a woman. I had a go once. It didn't work out very well. It's just not effective. Plus, I couldn't tape it back far enough. So, Pei's off, and I'm in for her. I usually have a show after her. I do. I'm still going to be here for that as well. So, I'm afraid it's 2 hours of me. I know. I know. What a way to ruin a weekend. So, I hope it's all right. Now, she often talks about food and stuff like that and the whole restaurant culture. So, I thought I'd, you know, take a leaf out of her cap and keep it on that theme. So, coming up in Pei's show, which is the first hour, this. We talked to Matt Cantor, who is a restaurateur and owner of a restaurant in the new hipster paradise that is Leslieville. Which is Queen East, and we're going to be talking to an ER doctor as well about the hours, the demands, the location, the drunk people, the time wasters, the odd stories of living a life of being an ER doctor. And it might be like the show, I don't know. We'll find out when we speak to one later on. That'll be in the second part of the Pei Chen show. So that's that show, and then after that, there's the official Vinnie White show, which is me again, with exactly the same silly accent and all the usual shenanigans for about an hour. And I'm there's a lot coming up on that, but I won't bore you with all that stuff because might as well get on with it, really. Otherwise, it'll just be a rambling preview with no content. You've got to have some meat on the bone. So that's what this is. Hello, my name is Vinny. Good evening. And I hope your weekend went fantastically. It was beautiful today. Perhaps you were out delightfully wandering around the neighbourhoods, sampling the fantastic restaurants that are here. Perhaps you were involved in TIFF, or perhaps you married the two together and did the whole film and wander around eating food, partying, drinking, and just generally spending just obscene amounts of money, which is very easy to do here in Toronto, as you know. You may well have stumbled across the new up-and-coming spot that is a fine restaurant, I think. I haven't been there, so it's going to be difficult, this feature, because the restaurateur never invited me. Thank you so much for that. The restaurant is called Barrow, and the owner here is Matt Cantor. Hi, Matt.
How you doing?
I'm okay. So let's sort this out. I've been good enough to bring you on this radio program to interview about your food, and I've never tried it.
Yeah, that's something we'll have to overcome, but I think we can do it.
I assume you brought in a medley of different small sliders for me to try on air.
I would have, but we don't make sliders, and I leave that up to Burgers Priest to do. So when you have them in, they'll bring the sliders in for me.
I see. Okay. Well, tell me what Barrow, B-E-R-O, 889 Queen Street East, tell me what you do there.
So
while you do that, for just people for watching on the webcam, it's insufferably light in here. And I'm finding the mood quite intense. I feel like I'm in a gas station. So I'm going to turn the lights down, which is the light switch is behind you. I'll do it while you do that. I just want to warn you that when I come back, I might well be wearing something frilly because I just want to change the atmos.
Frilly's good.
Okay.
So Barrow is what I've always wanted to open, which is a very high-end, very small, guest-focused restaurant doing Mediterranean food. And I guess that's about it in terms of high level.
That was better, but the lighting, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Feels a bit moodier now.
Maybe my answers will be better.
Yeah. You didn't sound terribly enthused about your restaurant.
I'm just dealing with the lights right now.
Okay, right. So it's high-end, I would imagine, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we do tasting menus. We do wine pairings. Our dishes are artfully composed. Or, I don't know if there's a better word for that. Mm. We are focused on doing service properly. Which, there's some really good food in Toronto, but not a lot of people are focusing on good service. That's something that's really important to us.
Now, setting up Barrow was no mean feat. It's quite a difficult thing to do, setting up a business here in Toronto, particularly when you've got to worry about the high rents and rates. How long did it take you from the point where you had your vision to start your own restaurant to the point where you opened it?
For me, it was much easier than for a lot of people. I partnered up with an existing restaurateur who I think really wanted to do what Barrow is, but was doing something else. And so we just agreed to close down what he was doing. It took us 2.5 weeks to basically lift the entire room, change the menu, and get...
And change the name as well?
Yeah, change the name.
What was it before?
Commissary.
Okay. And what happened when you gave it that lick of paint, that massive new menu, that Gordon Ramsay effect that is changing something completely?
It just changed everything. I mean, our... our clientele is some of the same people come, but we have a lot more people coming in. People have a lot higher expectations of what to expect when they get here, when they get there, and so we have to deliver on that. And we've, you know, we replaced I think the entire staff at this point.
Oh, were their last lot not very good?
And they were fine. They just weren't what we needed to do what we're doing. You know, it's just we need people who have experience doing quality with good attitude. And, you know, that's if you don't have that, you're basically done, right? You just shut the doors and go fishing or home or whatever.
Yeah.
We've hired some really killer staff, and they execute beautifully. And I couldn't be happier with where we are for being open 7 weeks.
I say. When you say you hired killer staff and they execute well, you're not you didn't actually hire murderers.
We don't do background checks.
Listen, as long as they're good at their job, yeah. Their past is really up to them. I should say, if you've got any questions for Matt or me, or I'm paid, by the way, today for the next hour, you can phone in on 416-872-1010. And I think this show's going to be all right. I'm going to tell you later that I spent the entire day in hospital yesterday, and I'll tell you why. So there's a little... little gem for you to hang on to.
I want to note that you have not eaten in my restaurant, and that was
yeah. It wasn't anything to do with Matt. Don't worry about it. Also, if you want to text the show, it's 71010. So I think I'm somewhat discombobulated, but I'm almost back to normal. But yeah, be interesting actually talking to an ER doctor later on, because I've talked to quite a lot of them over the weekend. Anyway, back on track. So you've got this restaurant. It took you a long time to conceive it, but to actually turn it around and change it only took a couple of weeks. You've rotated the staff. It's become some your baby. Where next? Where, do you want to franchise it? Do you want to grow it? What's going to happen?
We're just going to keep making it better and better and better.
Yeah.
We you know, we'll open something else when this thing is really where we want it to
perfect,
be. But
yeah.
we'll keep making it better anyway. I mean, you know, you can just keep making it better. We'll keep changing it. We'll keep messing around with the food. And, you know, maybe we'll put some art up at some point. We'll see.
Okay. Is it bare walls at the moment?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know what? The food is the art. If you look at some of the photos that are on Facebook and Twitter, it's what the cooks in the kitchen are doing are, it's amazing.
Now would be a good time to...
I know this is radio, so it's kind of
I know, but
lost on
now would be a good time to cross-promote my other business, MrPhotoCanvas.com, where you can blow up your photographs on canvas. Did you know about that?
Yeah, you know, I did. I actually talked about that, and we've just been too busy trying to get this thing going.
I will eventually blow up your food dishes. I should come in and take some photographs, first of all. Now, if I were to come in and take photographs and eat well at Barrow, what would be for a fairly... uninformed palate like mine, what would you recommend? Give me your sizzling, sexy, best dish on the menu.
Well, everybody seems to like the gnocchi a whole lot, and we get an incredible number of compliments about it. It's hands down the most popular dish on the menu. We do a pretty cool ceviche dish with frozen grapefruit on top of it. Our duck dish with fermented garlic and freeze-dried corn and leek purees. And leek snow is just dynamite as well. The desserts are great. We're starting to change some of those up to do more fall desserts, maybe something with a little squash in it, something kind of fun and goofy.
Okay. I'm slightly, mouth-watering at the moment.
You're tuned in to the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Vinnie White getting a slightly extended show as a result of Pei Chen being away just for 1 week at her brother's wedding. And she's very candid about this, but let me spill the beans in case you've been wondering. Yes, she is the woman from Peachtree TV that does all the kiddie voiceover stuff. Yes, she is. Never talks about it, but it's a fact. And I've spilled the beans right there. Fact. Deal with it. 8:16 is the time. I'm talking to Matt Cantor, who is a gentleman, a scholar, and someone that didn't bring me any food. But a very nice man, nonetheless, and the owner of Barrow Restaurant, which is 889 Queen Street East. Let's see if this is... There's a couple of texts we've come in on 71010. Ate at Barrow a few weeks ago. Fantastic food and service. A must visit. Is that the wife?
I don't pay her enough to write in for me.
And Vinny, ask him, please, if he pays his killer staff in accordance with the food prices, says Mo.
Actually, they get paid probably better than most cooks in Toronto.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because you have to if you want the best, because otherwise they'll disappear. It's a killer industry out there.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, you also, people get paid by being challenged too, right? You get the opportunity to make food that we're making. That's payment in itself, you know? And I'll tell you this, they make a heck of a lot more than I do.
Oh, really?
I don't pay myself.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's all right. It's better to have, they can get a little bit more.
I did see you looking at my wallet earlier.
Just get
those filthy eyes off it.
I'm pretty sure it was empty when you came into work today.
It always is, mate. Don't worry. So, yeah, you're in a situation where you've set up a business. It's always difficult, isn't it, at first? Because you think, oh, well, obviously, I mean, no one does it for the money. If you're setting up a restaurant for the money, you are doing it for all the wrong reasons. The money does tend to come later. Do you think that will happen?
Yeah. I mean, eventually, either the money comes or you close the doors, right?
Mm.
So I think it's going to happen. We need to... We haven't really been formally reviewed by a lot of people yet, so many of the GTA folks do not know that we exist. Once that happens, you know,
well, how long have you been open?
7 weeks.
Mm.
You know, we're doing okay. You know, we're not losing money, and we're not that busy yet. Mm. So I think we should be fine. You know, and the quality of everything we do has been pretty solid.
I want to talk about the area. Leslieville is.
Yeah.
Up and coming. Every time I go there, it's becoming more hipstery than even Parkdale.
It's funny. I live in the annex, but I've been getting up in the morning and going to have coffee in Leslieville for the last several years because there's just some really great, there's really great places to hang out there. And, you know, like I'm a big fan of Tiaro Coffee, and I still like going and hanging out there and doing some work in the morning before I go into my restaurant, which is just a couple blocks away.
And what about it? Up and coming? Groovy?
Yeah.
Hipsters?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a mix, right? You've got some hipsters. You've got a lot of strollers, you know, younger families. You've got people who've lived in the area for a while. It's a nice place. It's clean. It's well kept. Pretty respectful group of people that live there. And then, you know, kind of like the annex and like Parkdale, you've got some interesting folks that sort of wander around the area from time to time.
What do you mean by interest? Is this a Canadian polite way of saying lunatics?
Yeah, something like that.
You can say it. Mate, I moved to Parkdale proper. And I thought, because, you know, for the last few years, Parkdale's been the gentrified upcoming zone and rents on Queen West, as you know, when you looked into buying a restaurant on Queen, have gone crazy.
Yeah.
So I moved to Parkdale and I thought that had up and come. There's still pockets of it that are full of weirdos. I think I blend in quite well. There's a man that sits in my driveway. It's not even his property. He just sits on a deck chair playing with remote-controlled cars. What's going on?
That's Parkdale.
He's a big fat man. He's got a tattoo of Buddha on his belly. And he just plays remote-controlled cars. That's his life.
Well, every neighborhood has one of those. I live in the annex, and we have a woman who walks up and down the street mumbling in French all the time.
That's not weird enough. She needs to be doing it with an umbrella hat on and on a llama.
She's an interesting character. I think we call her the queen of the annex or something. I don't remember.
I think the thing with Parkdale proper, or the bit that I'm in, is that I know that Toronto, just like London and every other major city, is full of the slightly more peculiar folk. But it seems that they haven't dispersed. The process of osmosis, which distributes people around, doesn't seem to have worked very well. There's quite a concentration in my neck of the woods. Anyway, we'll have a break. We'll find out a bit more about your restaurant and your whole area of Leslieville in a moment. You're listening to News Talk 1010. It's Vinny in for Pei Chen.
This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
8:24 is the time. It's Vinny White Show just for today at this time. Normally, of course, it's the Pei Chen Show and then me. But she's off at her brother's wedding. We wish her well. Well, we wish him well. We wish everyone involved well. What's the divorce rate in this country? 50%. Sorry, their knockers won't happen to them. They're a lovely couple. What could possibly go wrong? So, yeah, I'm with Matt Cantor. He's the owner of Barrow, which is a restaurant that's only been open for 7 weeks in the East End. And I'm always interested in talking to people that are entrepreneurial and people that have set up their own business, particularly in a new upcoming zone like Leslieville, about the dangers of doing it. You could lose everything, or you and your investor could. Restaurants, what's the rate of actual success with independent restaurants?
It's actually a lot higher than people say it is. And, you know, everybody runs around saying, you know, 99% of restaurants close within a year or whatever. It's actually, I think it's 73% of restaurants close within 5 years. And, you know, that's that's not any different than probably any other business. You look at software companies, right? Mm. Startups that just, you know, they take on millions of dollars and then just vanish overnight because people just blow all the money on hats or whatever.
I see.
So, you know, I think it's a simple business. You know, you feed people, you bring them food, they give you money, and that's pretty much it. And if you can figure out how to do that properly, it's not really a complex puzzle.
Has Toronto overall managed to do that? I mean, a lot of people say some of the best restaurants in the world here. Would you agree with that?
I think there's some really good restaurants here, and I've eaten all over the world. You know, I'm from the States, and I've
oh, for God's sake, get out. I had no idea.
Well, you're not from here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hang on. Let me just work this out. Immigrant versus immigrant. But I've got more right because
you're British.
The Queen's on the money, but then you're the neighbor. And all right, you know what? You can stay. You're nice. You're from Portland, aren't you?
New York, but I've lived in Portland and Philly and D.C. and a bunch of other places.
I see. So having traveled a lot, you're in a reasonable place as a restaurateur to say that Toronto does well. What's Toronto really good at? If you were to travel the world and trying to promote Toronto for particular things, I'm pretty damn fine burgers, I'd say.
There's some great burgers here. There's some really great Chinese food, I'll tell you that. I adore some restaurants in this town, in Markham and on Spadina, that are just, you know, I could eat there every day, but I just look disgusting. So I try and limit that. I've discovered this trendy place that I thought was a bunch of nonsense called Burgers Priest, and then I had a burger there about a month ago, and now I just, you know, those things are just amazingly.
I'm starting to wonder if they put some sort of crack in those burgers, because I've never tried one. But every time you speak to someone about them, they go glossy as if they're talking about someone they loved in college that got away from them.
Who cares, man? They're good.
Look at your face. You're like a possessed boy in a candy store.
I love them. I buy them for the staff on Tuesdays. We clean the kitchen very thoroughly, and we do some prep and plan the week out. And I figure, like, Tuesdays, like, we call it Burger Tuesday, and I just run over to Burgers Priest and everybody gets their burger.
Is the fact that I enjoy Swiss Chalet so much reflective on the fact that I clearly have no palate?
No. I think you like consistently cooked chicken and fries with, what do they call it? Dipping sauce.
They call it dipping sauce.
Yes.
I play a little game with them every time. I always say, is the gravy in there? And they always say, oh, you mean the dipping sauce? Or they just slyly say, yes, the dipping sauce is. Mm-hmm. As if they're on some quest to change the word. Look, it's gravy. It's your own special recipe, but it's gravy. But I love that stuff. Can't let it go.
Yeah, well, you know what? If you love it, you love it, right?
What is Toronto getting wrong, if anything? If I was to set up a restaurant, what have we got enough of? Where's the fad over?
It's an interesting question, because this is one of those funny businesses where you see something open and you say, there's no way that thing is going to survive. It's just a complete bag of nonsense. And then it just does gangbusters. And then you see other businesses where everything is perfect and the place is always empty. And
yeah.
There's just a lot of factors that go into why people actually show up and eat food. I mean,
but there's certain fashions in food. I mean, sushi was almost unheard of if you look only 15 years ago, whereas it's exploded across the scene. Tacos seem to be quite a big thing of late.
Yeah, tacos are big. I think they're going to keep seeing taco places open. I thought the hamburger thing was going to go away, but apparently people just keep opening more and more of them. And, you know, it's going to be like coffee shops pretty soon. You're just going to get your coffee, and there's going to be a hamburger place next door. The Spanish thing just happened recently. There's a bunch of Spanish places that have opened.
I'd love to see more of that.
A lot of people called us Spanish, and we were kind of in the beginning, and now we're moving towards more just Mediterranean and contemporary modernist food that's just really, really awesome. And so we've kind of refocusing, but we still do a lot with Spanish, and we like it a lot.
Can I come in now to your restaurant? Thank you.
You can come in whenever you like, as long as we're open.
So that's Barrow. What's the address?
889 Queen Street East.
And if you fancy going down there, you do have to book ahead. How does it work?
You probably should, because we're getting busy, and we're not doing three turns, which is, you know, how many times we put seat people at a table.
Mm.
You know, we're going to take 40 people a night probably, and that's it. And after that, we're going to close. So it's going to get pretty hairy if you start walking in there.
Listen, I'm pleased to hear it. 7 weeks in, you're getting to the point where you've got a book ahead. It can only go up from here, and you've been in the business long enough to take this to a whole new level. So wish you massive success.
Thank you.
Matt Cantor is the owner and the entrepreneur and the man behind Barrow, B-E-R-O, on Queen Street. What's the number again?
889.
I will find it. And right now it's 8:30. Come back and talk to an ER doctor.
You're tuned in to the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
So that was Matt Cantor. He was the owner of a fine restaurant, Barrow. And he's disappeared off now, probably back to the restaurant to cook up some absolute beauties. If you want to text this show, you can, 71010. If you want to phone this show, you can, 416-872-1010. Pei Chen is away this week. I believe she's at her brother's wedding. And so therefore, I would imagine, certainly halfway in the bag by now. God bless her. But she did it on air once. Do you remember that? She did some wine tasting on air. And then by the end of the show, she was like, Vinnie White's coming up. And you're listening to News Talk 1010, and I love you. And I mean it. I do. I love you. I think that was something like she sounded. It was fantastic radio. I encourage most hosts to get drunk where possible, as long as it's not me. Now, I'm going to talk to an ER doctor. His name is Kashif Pizada, and you've been an ER doctor. First of all, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, pretty chirpy. You've been an ER doctor for quite some time. How long have you been doing this?
About 6 years now.
Okay. I wanted to ask you in because the life of ER is fantastic. And weirdly, when I asked you to come in, I didn't know that the day before I would spend quite some time in ER. I was in hospital yesterday, which I will get into in my own show at 9 o'clock. But let it be said that I have nothing but respect for you people. Because I witnessed a torrent of abuse and drunkards. And I don't know if it's reflective on a normal weekend in ER, but it was quite something. Is that normal to have to deal with that?
I'd say Friday, Saturday nights for sure. That's
really?
Pretty normal.
So you work here in Toronto. You've been doing it for a while. How did you get into all this as an ER doctor?
Oddly enough, in high school, I started watching this TV show called ER. It was a big show here.
Oh, yeah.
Around that time, and it really roped me in. I saw these people who look like superheroes just jumping on, saving lives, and just wanted to get into that.
And I should imagine it's exactly that kind of glamour on a daily basis. And it's certainly not begrudgery of paperwork.
No, not quite. It's quite can be, there can be a lot of drudgery for sure.
But that actually really, in the same way that people watch Point Break and become surfers, you watched that and actually thought, this is what I want to do with my life.
Oh, definitely.
Fantastic. And it worked by the look of it.
It does, but, you know, it's not quite what you see on TV. A lot of it is, routine. The excitement stuff when you get to actually, you know, use all your skills and make a difference does come rarely. But when you do, and you do make a difference, it feels great.
So tell me about a normal day. Let's move away from the weekend for a minute. We'll talk about the drunkards and the craziness on the weekend later on. But tell me about a fairly normal day, if there is such a thing in your life as an ER doctor.
I think, you know, you could describe it as, you know, 95% sort of normal everyday stuff. Someone comes in with belly pain. Someone comes in with chest pain. You sort of have to figure out that they're not having a life-threatening problem. But then 5% sheer terror as whatever rolls in through the door. I remember one night shift, I had back-to-back people, you know, someone who was intoxicated fell down the stairs, maybe broke their neck. Another person got into a car accident and maybe, you know, broke their shoulder. You had, then a third person came in. They had advanced lung cancer and couldn't breathe. And then to top it all off, the nurse comes up to me and says, a taxi just pulled up out front. There's a woman who's about to deliver a baby. And I'm the only one on at the time in the hospital.
My God.
So those kinds of moments do come. Thankfully, they're rare, but I think I credit my teachers and training to say that, to keep you on a level head and handle that.
So you were the only doctor on that night. Is that responsible? I mean, let's without opening up the whole quandary and nightmare that is talking about funding, surely that's not enough people, is it?
Well, at that time, there was somebody who was finishing their shift, so I just intercepted them from going home. There was the nursing staff are excellent, your support staff, the everyone we work with are very well trained. They can handle a lot on their own as well. So, and I had a lot of specialists in the hospital I could call on to save the day. So it was great. Everything worked out. Baby was born. Everyone was happy.
Now, when you go home after a night like that, what time do you actually get home?
Oh, like 10 a.m.
So you get home at 10 a.m.
devastated and destroyed.
Everything must be a bit, you know, you can't exactly just put on Oprah at that point and think, oh, this is nice. I'm going to have a
dear God, not Oprah. No.
And I very much doubt you put on Dr. Phil of all the satanic people that must entertain your lives. So what do you do to unwind after a night like that?
Sleep.
Yeah, you just just crash out?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know how you do that. Don't you need a bit of unwind time? I used to do a morning show and I finished at 9 a.m. and I had to just do nothing for 2 hours, like watch crappy TV before I could finally fall asleep. Don't you need some unwind time?
Yeah, I think so. You know, go for a nice walk. You know, the weather's great. You know, you see sunshine so rarely. Mm. So it's sometimes nice to go outside and enjoy the day.
Did you do 7 years of training for this?
Oh, more like 10.
Why 10? Is that because you're ER? Do you have to do that a bit more? Forgive me, I'm not too...
You do about, depending on different residencies, you do 3 to 5 years of training after medical school, which itself is 4 years, and you do undergrad before that, which is 3 to 4 years, and it's just very long, and I'm just happy it's over.
Have you finally paid off your university debts yet?
As of last year.
Congratulations. Well done, that man.
Happy to say. 5 years after graduating, I paid off all my debts.
Now, that's one stress, and one that many people are familiar with, having a bit of debt. But the stress of having someone's life in your hands is remarkable to me. Now, do you get used to that sort of pressure? Do you, after a while, think, oh, there's another bloke that's nearly dying. I'll just deal with that.
Yeah, you know, if you know what you're doing, it's not that stressful.
Like, yeah.
It's as long as, you know, usually it's pattern recognition. If you've seen everything once or twice or more, then generally you know what to do and things don't go badly, as far as, at least in my experience.
Yeah.
As long as, you know, we don't put people out there who are inexperienced. So usually even if there's a trainee, there's somebody watching them to make sure that they're not screwing up and getting things done. So.
Now, do you, presumably, you're at the point where you have trainees under you on a fairly...
very regularly. So
is it the whole, now you're looking at their disgust, their panic, their fears as people come in the room and you're being the more reassuring father figure in the whole affair?
Oh, definitely. You know, my favorite thing right now is to use, I think a lot of teaching centers have simulators, is just you have a model that has a computer attached to it, you can get it to program it to simulate various conditions. And my hand is always hovering on the kill button to terrify the trainees when they screw up. And it gets, it's very, very teachable. Like, you know, nothing will get their mind into gear knowing that they've done something horribly wrong. And you can teach them. They'll never make that mistake in real life. So
this is a job and a half, isn't it? Are you at the point where you've ever thought, I might do something else?
Yeah, sometimes. I think, you know, the people can be very difficult to deal with. But, you know, you can't blame them. This is a place where, you know, they're in pain. They're having symptoms they're not used to. They don't have, you know, they don't have the knowledge to know what's going on. And they're dealing with professionals who are using terminology they've never heard of. They're very frustrated. It's completely understandable. So you kind of have to. I have my own parents who are slowly breaking down and they have to navigate the system. So I work through with them. And I think, you know, a little bit of patience, a little bit of grace and some understanding really goes a long way.
Could you explain that to the woman behind the glass as you check in accident emergency, who I think is always usually trained by a dragon? I'm sure she has to deal with the most horrific people, but they take rudeness to a whole new level, don't they? I suppose you'd ever see this.
Yeah, I guess we're insulated from that a bit.
Oh, let me tell you.
They've got the toughest job.
I know they do. They're at the first line. So do you get time wasters, people that keep coming back for no apparent reason, that are messing up the service? That are going to ER because they've got a bit of a toothache.
You know, it's hard to call it that because, you know, a toothache is sometimes just a toothache. Sometimes it's an abscess that's going to grow and become horrible and need surgery. So, you know, if you don't have the knowledge and you don't know, you've never felt something like this before, then, you know, I don't blame people for coming in. Like,
that's
most
very
people,
good of you. I remember I broke my collarbone in Tremblant, snowboarding.
Good place.
Yeah, great. Thanks so much to the clinic at the bottom of the hill, which had a doctor who was trained by Frankenstein. He tried to pop it back in.
Oh, geez.
You should have heard my swearing. I honestly didn't know I was capable of being that rude. It was fantastic. 2 15-year-old boys ran out of the clinic when they heard me screaming.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, it wasn't the most wonderful of opportunities. And then I went to...
No painkillers.
No, man. No.
Oh, that's barbaric.
He was. I actually cried. Human tears. And then I ended up in hospital because that didn't fix anything. Obviously, being in a clinic at the bottom of the hill is not going to pop a collarbone back into place. So I ended up in hospital, the usual sort of, you know, 9-hour wait, loads of weirdos everywhere, peculiar things. But there was one guy sitting next to me who was in for a black eye.
Oh.
And I thought at first, oh, there must be other things I can't see. And he goes, no, I'm just a bit worried about this black eye. Just go home, man. Bag of ice, what are you doing?
Well, you know, the thing is, like, what if there's all kinds of injuries that could happen to the eye? Like, you don't, if he was having trouble with his vision, then there could be things that need surgery.
Oh, so man, up. Come on. Grow a pair. See, this is why you're a doctor and I'm a cocky idiot talk show host, because I'd be awful. I'd be like, bag of peas, bugger off, ridiculous. Next, if you've got an arm hanging off, come on in. That's what I'm doing. Tell me about, so you don't have a great deal of, well, in your view, time wasters anyway.
Well, you know, time wasters are actually your easiest part of the day, because you can send them home.
Bring them on.
I love the easy patients.
Another box ticked.
It's the people who, you know, you don't know what's going on. That's the one that, you know, sort of raises your blood pressure a little bit when, you know, someone's coming in and they're dizzy and you have no idea why. So that's what the challenge is.
When we come back from traffic, I'm going to ask you this question. What's the oddest thing that's ever happened to you? So you can ponder that for a moment.
This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Okay, so it's Vinny talking. I've lost my notes. It's falling apart. That's what happens when Paige Chen's away. Kashif Pizzada is your name, and you're a fine man, an ER doctor here in Toronto. You've been very reasonable and level-headed about the people that I would label time wasters. You're saying no one wastes time, really. Everyone has their own demands, their own reasons for being in your hospital, in ER. But, of course, you do occasionally come across people that have some somewhat bizarre stories. Tell me about what that might be.
Oh, I've got so many stories. I think one of my favorite ones was someone who thought in their religion they weren't allowed to use contraception. So they thought if they stuffed themselves full of gummy worms, that would prevent conception. So we had quite a day, you know, cleaning that up. But there's another case.
Trying to work out the logistics behind this. Where exactly did she get that information? Or did she come up with that herself?
I blame Google for everything. People who self-diagnose themselves, I always blame Google. I'm sure it was in there somewhere.
I'm just going to type in contraception and gummy bears and see if it... Yep, there it is. It might well work. Yeah, as a qualified doctor, can we tell people now that won't work? What did you do? Clean it all up and send her on away?
We made sure that we got her to see a specialist too to make sure everything was out. So
okay.
Often surgery, that kind of thing. So
oh, yeah. Now speaking of orifices, or should I say orify, I believe is the collective noun. Is that right, doctor? Is it RFI?
Orifices, I think.
Is it? Okay. See, 7 years. And that was just the first bit. Then he did another three. And that's why. Orifices is, if one were to ask you, should you have ever pulled anything out of an orifice? And it's not quite 9 o'clock, but if you could tell me, from a medical point of view, not just scintillating chit-chat, have you ever pulled anything weird out of someone's body?
All the time, actually. There was the weirdest one was a guy goes to a party. This is his own words. Did a whole bunch of stuff and woke up with a string coming out of his butt. We did an X-ray. It was a mustard bottle of some kind, except they put it in the wrong way and the string was tied at the top of the bottle, which was aimed away from us. So every time we tried to pull it out, the bottle would tilt cause incredible pain.
Oh.
So we tried to get it out ourselves, and eventually he had to go to see a surgeon, and they had to take it out. So.
What kind of bottle? Did you say mustard bottle?
I think it was still good after it came out, too. It was still sealed and everything, so...
Oh! I'm just going to put down this hot dog. My goodness, man. What else have you found up there? I'm not talking about one person's bottom. I'm just talking about various bottoms and various other orifices.
I think the most egregious thing I've seen was salad tongs. I had no idea how they got them up there, but
salad tongs. Now, was it tong first?
I think it was the tong first.
Tong first,
and then
doing that would separate, and then pushed. And were they pushed in
fairly up?
Yeah, you know, we could probably talk about something else now.
Yeah, I think we should.
Now, you've got your life as an ER doctor is interesting, and when you're not pulling things out of people's bottoms and various other parts, then That's all very well. But there are, in the spare hours, all two of them that you get in the week, there is a project that you're interested in. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
So I'm working with some colleagues at the University of Toronto, and we want to put as much of the medical school experience online as possible. We've made a website, openmedx.com, and we want to, let's say you Google, this is what we see all the time, people Google their symptoms, they think they've got this horrible condition, and they come in thinking they have cancer or something horrible. Mm. But what they lack is context. What if you were able to look up and learn about a whole body system, or as much as perhaps a medical student would? I think that people would really find some benefit from that, and we want to do that. We have partners overseas who will test out our material. We just need a lot of volunteers and fundraising assistance, which we're going to build up over the next year or so.
So it must be hard to get fundraising for something that is online for the world, because obviously a government chipping in would think, well, hang on a minute, why is this beneficial to just me? This is a global effort, is it?
You'd be surprised, actually. I don't know if you've seen, but like there are universities now putting courses online everywhere, like websites like Coursera and edX. You can actually sign up for quite a few courses and learn online. And people are doing this already right now. There just isn't one for medicine. And I think we hope to be the first one.
Now, there's nothing to stop me putting in my symptoms in various search engines and scouring Wikipedia. How will your site move away from what already exists, a mishmash, a very difficult, unquantified amount of literature that already exists? How will your site be different?
I think if you go and Google your symptoms, you're getting a very small piece of a larger puzzle. And the body is as complicated as it gets. Mm. When you go to medical school, you sort of get a global picture of how the body works as a system. And, you know, maybe you can get a better inkling of that when you go through a more organized education process, which we hope to present. One of the target audiences would be people, lay people, but also people who are learning medicine overseas. We see a lot of international graduates here. A lot of them have gaps in knowledge that we could, you know, probably improve and fix on by offering this material free online.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk about that and see how far you've got with it so far. You're listening to Vinnie White in for Pei Chen on News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to the Vinnie White Show on InDepth Radio. News Talk 1010.
News Talk 1010. My name is Vinnie White. I'm in for Pei Chen. I appreciate that I'm an hour early. You don't have to worry about your clocks. It's all perfectly normal. It's just that she's away at her brother's wedding. I'm talking to an ER doctor here in Toronto, and it's Kachif Pizada, who just asked me if I fly in for this show every week, which I love the thought of. And if my boss is listening, I'd be more than happy to arrange that. If you wouldn't mind just flying me in for this show every week. No, I've been living here for 7 years. And the healthcare system in this country is similar to mine, although I got prescribed a bottle of, is it Ciprodex?
Ciprodex, yeah.
Last week. $48?
That's a rip-off.
What's that made of?
I think it's patented. Yeah, it's a big racket these companies have.
Is it ever? Yeah. Why are we allowing this? Can't we have some generic brand that's at half the price? What's going on?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate.
Are we turning a bit more into the US in this country when it comes to healthcare?
I hope not. I really think our system works fairly well for what, and it really produces good outcomes. You know, it's very similar to the UK system, like you were mentioning.
There would be some people that would disagree with you there, and I'm sure if we were to throw this open to the phones, we could get people arguing with you. There are people that say that it's not underfunded, it's slow, and you have to do a lot of work yourself. In fact, many people have said to me, if you want to use this system, you have to bully it. Yeah. Which must be very difficult for you as a doctor, because you'd like to think that you don't have to get involved with all the politics. Do you find this is true? Do you find that people are often pushing you, bullying you, trying to make you understand, trying to get you interested in their case? Because if you don't do that, then you just don't get the time and attention.
I don't think that's the case. Most people are very civil. I think in a system where there's no cost, I guess, people, you sometimes can get drowned out by the volume of things. But, you know, I'd like to think that the really severe things are dealt with very quickly. Mm. And we usually try to catch those, but it's not perfect.
But you work in ER, which is, of course, the very nature of your job. There are other departments in hospitals that are working at a far, far more relaxed pace, and arguably far too relaxed pace. Would you agree with that?
You know, I think it's possible. There's always room for improvement. But every time, you know, I have a lot of relatives in the U.S. who are doctors, and it sounds like a pure horror show down there,
yeah.
Like, especially if you're on the verge of losing insurance, or if you're underemployed, it's just very, very bad.
People choosing between which finger to keep in some accidents and things like that. Yeah, and you just, think, is that the way to go?
I don't think anyone would ever go bankrupt in Canada from getting an operation. I think most of my colleagues are very, very committed to public health care, and I think it's a good thing for sure.
I want to wrap up talking just a little bit more about something that you started. It's called Open Medics, openmedx.com. And it's your mission is to become the pioneer of a whole new world of online information that's actually reliable. So, for example, last week when I had an ear infection, I don't have to Google, Wikipedia, find the wrong result and prescribe myself the wrong thing, or annoy people like you in the professional industry and tell you what you should be doing. These are going to be online available free journals to everyone?
Oh, free, definitely. I think medicine will always be an apprenticeship. You always have to do on-the-job learning, like, you know, your DJ work, you probably had to learn with somebody.
Have you heard this show?
You know, you can't, it's not something you can just pick up from reading, obviously. That's, but it does provide some background knowledge, which might be helpful.
Yeah. Like,
I wanted to mention, one of our collaborators is Dr. Tariq Lubani. He runs an open medicine journal. He's actually the doctor who was jailed along with John Grayson in Egypt. So if anyone has time out there to sign the petition on change.org, if you Google that along with the name Tariq Lubani, he's a really great guy, really upstanding guy. Anyone who's trained at Western University knows him instantly. And it's really, really tragic what's happened with him being jailed in Egypt. So if you guys have time, go to change.org and sign the petition. Hopefully maybe our government can do something.
He was taking a risk by being there. There is a rather, I would
nasty,
selfish school of thought that says, well, he deserves it. I think it's very important, isn't it, to concentrate on what his motives were, what his very unselfish motives were.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think the health workers and you know, aid workers are the most vulnerable, and to target them like this is unbelievably barbaric, and I hope they release him and get him back home as soon as possible.
Well, I wish you luck with that. Oh, I wish him immense luck with that. I wish you luck with Open Medx, openmedx.com, where an international effort is being made to make us prescribe, well, not prescribing things, but finding
more,
out
more knowledgeable and improve health as a result.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. And then we can see doctors on the result of those of that advice. A bit like telehealth, but reliable and online.
Yeah, not telling you to go to hospital every time you call them.
So true. That's all they do. Phone an IT department, they say, turn it off, turn it on. Phone telehealth, they say, go to hospital. It's the way it works. Listen, it's been great to have you in, and maybe I'll see you again. Kashif Pizarro, ER doctor in Toronto, thank you.
Thank you.
This has been the Pei Chen Show. And coming up, a guy called Vinny White, who I hear is possibly the best talk radio DJ in history. I've heard that. We'll see.
This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Hello. 9:06 is the time. Nice to be here again. I mean, I was here 5 minutes ago. If you just tuned in, I've already done an hour. I was filling in for Pei Chen. Tell you what, it's a lot of work, isn't it? An hour a week's more than enough for me. Don't want to push the boat out. I already did a load of filling work over summer. What do you want from me, blood? For goodness sake? Nice to be here, despite my hostility, and nice to have you. Hey, you want to get in touch? You can. 416-872-1010. Texts are crazy tonight. A million texts come in. Not many phone calls. 71010 on the text. You can text. Do what you want to do. It's your life. It's Sunday night. It's relaxed. And if you've got a little wee drink in your hand, good for you. Fill your boots. So I want to talk about a few things tonight. I want to talk about what happened to me this week. Was in hospital yesterday. I want sympathy, by the way. My mum lives 4,000 miles away. I haven't even bothered her with this. So I need some sympathy. So I'm looking for women to just phone up and go, oh, I really want that. Even men sounding like women would be nice. 416-872-1010 when you've heard the story and you want to give me some sympathy. I really need it. I genuinely do. I've always thought of this radio show like a wife. I moan, I grumble, I bitch and ask for things. It's a marriage to me. And I think at this time in my life, right now, I want you to be sympathetic towards me when I tell you this story. I almost feel, I'll tell you what, I've already bigged it up a bit. A quick intro and all that stuff, I'll get this out of the way. Hi, I'm Vinny, I've been here for 7 years. Someone just asked me if I flew in every week for the show. You want to have a look at the budget in this building and get realistic. Yeah, so I live here, and yes, I've got an accent. And by the way, if you want to annoy me, say this. This happened to me a lot this week. Oh, and you've still got your accent? I'm always going to have this. I can't get rid of it. If you moved to London, you wouldn't instantly go, hello, God, blimey, is it raining again? Would you believe it? It's not going to happen. It's the way life is. And by the way, I've tried to change it. You've heard me say water. Water. It's ridiculous. I sound like an idiot. So deal with it. I'm afraid this is as good as it gets. I know I sound like some sort of character from Oliver Twist, but that's life. I live here in Toronto. I think I've got a reasonable set of opinions about the place. And I appear to have found myself in talk radio. So, unfortunately, you just have to get used to the accent. Right, what happened to me this week? Let's rewind, shall we? Because you might remember last week's show, I was in pain. So if we rewind 10 days, I was in a swimming pool here in Toronto. Which, by the way, it all started there, but I don't blame the swimming pool. You can pick up an infection anywhere. It was all right, okay? No problem. And it wasn't like it was full of anything dirty. It was fine. It's a nice outdoor swimming pool I often use because I like to keep my, I would say, perfect body in check. And Elliot, I think you'd agree with that.
I certainly do.
And help yourself to another $5. Elliot, the producer there, the only sympathy I've got so far. So I was in the pool. Yes, I got, I have swimmer's ear. It happens every year. And it blocks up, you know, when you can't hear anything. It sounds like, if you're listening to the radio, it sounds like this. Which, by the way, if you're listening to Glenn Beck, is the best way you could possibly ever listen to the radio. I was listening to him today. Mental health issues. How much money does he get? And he talks complete crap. Unbelievable. Last time I listened to him. Anyway, so I was, 10 days ago I went swimming. Great. 7 days ago today, I did this radio show, and I wasn't, I'll be honest with you, despite putting a brave face on it, I was in a lot of pain, and wearing my headphones with one headphone off, and, it was quite bad, and it looked like at that point I had an ear infection. So I did the show, and then I finished the show, and I went down to the subway, because I'm a man of the people. I ride the peasant wagon. I'm all right with that. And, I went down to the subway, and I nearly collapsed. And I thought, oh, hang on a minute, this can't be good at all. And I was hanging onto a wall. And I thought, all right, frivolity aside, that might have been quite a good radio show. And it was surprisingly good. But this obviously hasn't done me any favours, talking for an hour and listening to myself in my head and with headphones on quite loudly. So I went home and I went to bed and I slept for 16 hours. And then I got up and sort of like walked around in my pants. It was Labour Day, so it was the perfect day to be ill. And I walked around in my pants. Oh, when I say pants, by the way, I mean that in the British term, underwear. And, of course, a fine physique strutting around the place it was too. No, I looked bloody awful. I was a proper ill bloke. And I did another bit of sleep. Anyway, fast forward, I had to go to Ottawa on business. And I had to be there last week. And so I decided it would be a good idea to rent a car and drive down there, despite the fact I had a really quite bad ear infection. In retrospect, I shouldn't have gone. It was a foolish thing to do. And I teach software, right? So I had to teach someone how to use Photoshop for a couple of days, and they'd booked it months ago. So I didn't want to let them down, and it was like a government client, and it was quite good money. So I thought, all right, I'll teach my software. Well, you talk a lot when you teach software, and you have to get up early, and you have to be on the ball, which I know, if you listen to this show, is remarkable, but I am capable. And so for 2 days, I talked to this rather attractive young lady and told her how to do stuff with Photoshop. That's what I do when I'm not doing this. And I taught her and everything went well. And that brings us up to Saturday, which was yesterday. And I've talked so much and my head is clearly no better despite the $48 eardrops that I was prescribed. Not that I'm bitter about the fact that a bottle the size of an atom containing two drips can be $48. Not that I'm bitter about that. But it was obviously not working. That was the problem. So I yesterday thought, I can't possibly do this anymore. The ringing in my head was insanely loud. A constant ee. The pain was immense. And then, of course, the thought of driving back was frankly dangerous. So it was a stupid thing to do. And I thought, well, I can't do my show tomorrow today. And I can't possibly do anything but but go to a clinic. Went to a clinic, phoned telehealth. They said go to hospital. Clinic was closed. Ottawa's a pain in the ass at the best of times. Not only is it boring, it's also... Hi, everyone in Ottawa. I always say that. They hate me there. I'm such a traitor. I like hockey players that go to jump to another team. I love it there, but I was there 6 years and it is a bit boring. Sorry. I love it. It's friendly and it's cute and it's green. Great place to bring up a family. I just chose not to have a family. That's the problem. Anyway, so Ottawa can be a bit dull. And it's also, it's terrible when it comes to clinics. Awful. Drove across the city, nightmare finding a place. Finally got to one. Had a proper go at the receptionist because she didn't answer a phone. And then when I finally get there, the phone is ringing next to her. She's ignoring it. It's like, it's 3:20. Their website says they close at 4. And she's like, well, we've closed now. Well, just answer that now. There's someone else that's going to be here in 10 minutes annoyed. So just answer that. Do us all a favour. So at that point, I was at the point where I had a splitting headache and I was really in trouble. So I dumped the car and got a cab to hospital and did the usual thing of waiting for a few hours, which is fine because there was people in far more need than me. And I do appreciate that. There was a guy that had cut his arm off. I know. It was barbaric. And I was feeling really sorry for myself because the toilet was broken and the coffee machine didn't work. And my phone was running out of battery. And then you see a guy that's cut his arm off. And you go, you know what? Things are okay. Things are okay. This ear pain suddenly is all relative, man. So I go and see a number of specialists. And I won't bore you with all the information. But I got thrown through a number of specialists until they said, okay, Mr. White, you sexy bastard. What we've got here is a man that's got... They didn't say that bit. I might have thrown that bit in, that extra bit there. Yeah. That's what I heard through the... Anyway, they said, what you've got here is a chronic ear infection. The Ciprodex $48 bottle is not getting to the infection because you've got too much wax in the way. They've never seen a wax build up like it. I know this is gross, by the way. If you're eating, please stop. And we're going to have to do something about it. So I got strapped into a chair. And I did get strapped into a chair. I actually got strapped in. I asked them to. I said, strap me in. They said it was going to be immensely painful. And you know when you're a kid and you blow bubbles and there's a plastic thing that you wave around and blow the bubbles through it? I don't know if that thing's got a name. Like a bubble wand. Imagine a small one of them entering your head and trying desperately to lasso chunks of wax whilst your inflamed ear canal is in agony. And I do mean agony. So I was strapped in a chair and there was a beautiful doctor who I called nurse, which, by the way, is the worst offence you can ever say to a doctor. She didn't go to medical school for 7 years to be patronised by a British idiot. And she was from Montreal and she was quite hardcore French and she didn't like the fact I didn't speak French. So I thought at one point she was trying to hurt me. Certainly felt like it. So I'm strapped in. She's given me the big one. And she says, this is useless. We need to call the ear, nose and throat specialist. A little while later, I find myself strapped into another chair in another part of a hospital wing. And I swear to God, I'm not making this up. They decided the best thing to do was to suck out the wax with a high-powered vacuum. And the wax happened to be next to my eardrum. So if you can imagine the sound of someone... Essentially, it feels like your brain's being ripped out of your ear. And that's the way it is. And I swore like a sailor. I said at one point, I think I might swear. And she looked at me and she said, oh, you will. Like she was, like, I don't know, it was Guantanamo. And she goes at me for so long with this ear pump. I dropped the C-bomb. I couldn't help it. I tried to just stick to the Fs, but the C came out. And my goodness, by the way, if anyone ever says that swearing doesn't help, believe me, it does. Felt great. Calling a fully trained doctor who was trying to help me see. Felt great. I apologised profusely afterwards, obviously. And then a guy comes in, Newfie guy, fantastic, really chirpy. And I said, it's a shame you guys don't prescribe whiskey. As a Newfie, the first thing he said is, we used to and I wish we still did. So I'm being strapped down by him and the woman, fantastic doctors. I have an immense respect for them. But I swear, I was a millimetre away from punching him in the face. Because as much as you try to be reasonable in these scenarios, they're sucking your head out with a vacuum cleaner. Every part of your soul wants to say stop, even though you know it might be good for you. They removed so much stuff from my ear. I did warn you, this is gross. They removed so much stuff from my ear that they had to change the wee bucket that I know that they pour stuff into. It was absolutely repulsive. They said, "My goodness, look at this! There was fluid coming out. There was like it was like a comedy scene. I thought they were going to get a fishing rod in there and hoik out on old boots. It was ridiculous. It kept coming for ages." And the heavens opened, and it suddenly went, "Ooh, we're just going to do a bit more, Mr. White." Hallelujah! What a wonderful thing! I got my hearing back. I can hear everything. And then they told me I've got a fungal infection in my ear, which means I've technically, and I'm not joking, I've got mushrooms growing in my head. Because that's not gross, is it? You know what? I'm single right now. I might just go out for a drink tonight and just go up to a girl in the bar and say, "Hey, how's it going? I had a difficult weekend. You know why? I've got mushrooms growing out of my head. That's how cool I am. That's actually a fact." So they've given me a prescription for some more. Someone just texted in. "You were strapped in and she gave you what? A big one? A big what? No, not like that, you animal. Nothing was strapped on anywhere." Someone else texted, "Ottawa is terrible for the escorts, double the price and half the service." Thanks! That's not why I was there! Although that's probably all I could pick up right now with a fungal infection. Oh, gross. Anyway, all this to say, I am better. Not a lot better, considerably better. I can hear. I'm on new eardrops, which cost only $75. Bargain! And a new bottle of the Cipridex, which costs $48. So I've got them. That's all squared away. Pumping those little puppies in. Should be right as rain. All right, everyone thrown up? Good. Let's have a break.
You're tuned in to the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
Right, I want some sympathy from women. I need to be stroked in an audio way. 416-872-1010. Are you a woman? And can you just phone me up and just say, "Ah," something like that. Just say, "Oh, poor thing." If you could, I'm happy to be treated like a dog. Phone me up and say this.
Who's a big boy? Who's a big boy? Yes, you are.
That'd be fine. 416-872-1010. Give me sympathy. I went through murder 5 hours in the emergency ward in an Ottawa hospital yesterday. Got up this morning, did a 5 hour drive back. That's how much I love this show. And I did two shows back to back. So give me some sympathy. Give me sympathy. 416-872-1010. So far, I've got texts from sympathy. "Oh, poor Vinny, pat on your head 10 times. And 10 attaboys from Ron." But you know what? I'll take it. I was told in the army that you can find sympathy between S-H-I-T and syphilis. See what they did? It's in the dictionary, you see. It's clever. And who else has said? Oh, what? Thanks, Vinny. I didn't want the bedtime snack anyway. Someone else says, insane in the membrane. He's insane. He's got wax in the brain. So there's a lot of that. Yeah. It's not. I'm not really getting the sympathy. Come on, girls. There's mums listening. 416-872-1010. Give me sympathy. Just even condescending, patronising sympathy. That's the British way. Say you'll make me a nice hot cup of tea or something. Not getting the love. There's a few more texts. Suck it up. What? That's what they did. Oh, you're a big girl. I know I am. I'm happy to admit it. Still hurt. Have you ever had this, by the way? Have you ever had someone suck your ear out, wax out? It's, oh, God, it's so awful. There was one point, there was, you know when you're in the dentist and they're sucking the saliva away? While they're working on you. And there was one point that was going on. And I saw part of my, what was in my head, disappear up a transparent tube. And I thought, I've never been that clever. But was that the last bit? I don't know. All right, texts are coming in. I'm still not getting the phone calls. We've got like two. But I don't think I like them. 416-872-1010. I'll move on to other things. Oh, this is a genuine one. I'm going to read it as genuine. Vinny, I've been there. It hurts like hell. I have nothing but the biggest sympathy. Thanks. And that probably is my mum. Yeah, thanks. 4,000 miles away. Hasn't got a clue. Didn't tell her. Isn't that the responsible thing to do? I always tell my family exactly the emergency wards I've been in, usually about 2 weeks later. And they go, oh, really? They never say you should have told us on the day because they know how it works. They'd rather not know. It's the responsible thing to do. Right, coming up, 22 covers you didn't know were covers. We're going to do them. And we're going to also talk about, do you want to talk about this Guelph family that think it's 1986? You'll have to get me the clip of that. Get it later. I'll send it to you later. I'm talking to Elliot, by the way, not you. Someone else just text Comedy Gold. That's it, Vinny. You've inspired me. I'm on my way to Pizzaville. Never gets old. Never gets old. Actually, by the way, I don't know what's happened in this studio. Usually I come in and there's food all over the place where Rob Ford's been. No food today. And it's clean as a whistle. So I think my incessant complaining has been listened to by his staff. And they've started cleaning up. Because honestly, you could eat your dinner off this place. It's amazing. I love the sun, by the way. Today the sun was brilliant. They were talking. They're sort of, I love the way that the sun builds you up and knock you down, then builds you up. Because they're very pro Rob Ford, aren't they, the sun? And they were sort of having a go at Mark, I can never pronounce this, Bonakowski. Oh, I did it. As they say, my legendary old stablemate has now his legendary mitts on political fortunes of PC leader Tim Hudak. And then they say, this is what the Sun say, who are pro-Rob Ford? First, seek the counsel of Rob Ford. That would be advice. He may be overweight, sweaty, sloppy, gruff, hard partying, pot smoking, and the star of an alleged crack cocaine video, but he's got more political charisma in one chubby fat finger than Tim exudes on his best day. Now that is absolute gold, because what you've done there, that's like negging. That's the concept of, that's low-grade insults meant to undermine the self-confidence of a woman so she might find you vulnerable in your advances. You know, that's a classic technique for the lads if you want to pull someone in a bar. So you say, shame you're not a looker, but I'd get with you because you're strangely attractive. You know, you knock them down, you build them up. You knock them down, you build them up. That's what the Sun are doing there with their own Rob Ford. But anyway, thanks, Rob. You've cleaned up the studio. It's lovely. I actually quite like it when you leave a couple of timbits. Don't feel as if you can't do that. It's just in the right place without powder all over the floor. And when I say powder, let's be very careful. I am talking the residue build-up that is on a timbit. And let me put that quite clearly on the record before I get fired. 9:26. Should we do this? What do you want to do, Elliot? You want to do the songs now or you want to do the story?
Songs. Yeah, let's do songs.
Okay, let's do the songs. These are a collection... okay, hang on. Just before we do this, I just want to read out some of the latest texts. No one's got the guts to actually phone in and be nice. They do it all by text. I'm so sorry. It sounds like a horrible ordeal. I hope you feel better. I laugh my ass off about you dropping the C-bomb. I wish I could be there to console you, says Michelle. I would phone in if I didn't have bad reception. I'm in the country. Okay. Michelle, thank you. You know what? Better than nothing. Someone else says, frigging out of where I lived there all of 1999. Not only do the strip clubs and escorts suck, but for all the time I was there, I couldn't get... I'm not reading that out. What is wrong with you? That's not even what we were talking about. How did this happen? And not one point have I mentioned escorts or strippers. And the same guy keeps texting in about how there's a lack of them in Ottawa. You don't even live there. Don't worry about it. God's sake. Right, 22 covers you didn't know were covers, and we start with this. Otis Redding did it before it became, what, the biggest karaoke tune of all time? Aretha. Otis, the legend. So that one surprised me. And there's so many more. We continue our list of songs you didn't know were covers, but are covers. And we're only, just so we're very clear on this, we're only playing the absolute originals, all right? So do you remember this? Oh, this might only apply to people that are British, because I don't know if they were really big. This was covered by the Happy Mondays, like Manchester scene. Turn up a bit. I didn't know this. This is great. This is a sort of long-haired, hippie Manchester band. Really funky. He's gonna step on you again. So from there, This one will blow you away if hardcore Boss fans will already know this. But who did Blinded by the Light originally? Only Bruce.
Blinded by the light. Oh, cut loose like a deuce, another brother in the night. Blinded by the light. She got down, but she never
and
got
notice that he didn't say wrapped up like a douche. Now this one is Tom Waits with Downtown Train. Rod Stewart. Actually, I think I must admit with that one, I think Rod did a better version. Tom sounds like he's had 18 cigars. And I don't know. Whereas Rod sounds like he's only had about five. You know, Rod's 65 and he just had a baby. You know, that's responsible parenting. The way he sees it is that he's not going to be there for those difficult teenage years. All right, remember... Oh, this one blew my mind. Can you remember who this... Well, I'll tell you, this is Annie Lennox. It'll take you a while to register who covered this.
Step by step.
Yeah.
Stone by stone, yeah. Brick by brick. Step by step. Day by day. My, my, my. Now don't you slip away.
Annie there with Step by Step. Sorry, I played quite a lot of that. Just realised I wasn't in music radio. Sometimes I forget. It's really weird. I sort of relax and think, oh, I'll check my emails. Oh, I'm a talk radio DJ. I forgot about that. All right, Tina Turner did this. Can you remember this? This has been done a few times.
I'm letting you go.
Ace of Base, was it?
According to Wikipedia.
According to Wikipedia. Wow, I prefer Tina doing that. And then this track. Gloria. Oh, yeah. So this is a band called Umberto Tozzi. Which I guess we're only one-hit wonders. I've never heard of them. By the way, if you've got any facts on this, 416-872-1010 or StarTalk 8255, or you can text in on 71010. We're going through 22 tracks that you didn't know were covers, and there's some absolute peaches here. This one will blow your mind away. Go for it. Strange Loves there with I Want Candy. That was covered. Am I factually incorrect on any of these? I'm not sure. Hello, we've got a caller. Hiya.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
Oh, there's no call screener.
Well, there is, but he's busy playing clips.
Oh.
So I thought I'd just jump you straight through. That's probably quite petrifying,
isn't
it?
That's why I didn't turn my radio off. I'm trying to fall asleep, but Vinny, I just called to say the most important thing you said... was that you compared your own predicament to the man who had his arm cut off. I'm in a similar position with multiple sclerosis, partial use, loss of the use of my hands, and a lot of different things. And I'm glad to hear that you've got your mood and your temperament back and your love of life.
Oh, that's very kind of you. I think it's too easy for us all to think I'm the most... poor person in the world. It's only me that's in pain and no one else could possibly be suffering because we're so wrapped up in ourselves. It's important not to, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got a lot to live for and you appear to know it.
Aww.
So...
if I could give you a cuddle, I would. This is the sort of empathetic words I needed. You're a
if
lovely
woman.
If you
could woman. Give me a what?
If I could give you a cuddle.
Oh, a cuddle. Oh, I would love that. That is what I need.
Come here, you lovely little thing. Oh, you're lovely. Take care, darling. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Good night.
I'm going to let her off from the fact that she started the call by saying, I'm trying to fall asleep. That's the best way to phone this show, isn't it? Hi, how's it going? I just wanted to let you know that I'm listening to Talk Radio and your show because I'm trying to fall asleep. No, she's lovely. Okay, we are doing the 22... we're doing random bits of sympathy and empathy and moral life support stories, which is the backbone of this radio show. And you can phone in at any point on 416-872-1010. Or you can text on 71010. But we're also rather mystified by the amount of tracks that are covers that we didn't know. Tracks like this. Don't leave me hanging on the telephone. Don't leave me hanging on the telephone. Right, this is Blondie. This has to be one of Blondie's biggest ever songs. And I didn't know till today that it was originally by The Nerves. So you listen to the problem I have is when you listen to a lot of modern day music, essentially the whole lot is deft. If you put on a pop station like Virgin Art Sister Station, which by the way is the best pop station here in Toronto, do you like pop music? Then why not listen to Virgin, part of the Bell Media family? There we go. Tick that box. Happy bit of corporate. But yeah, if you do listen to that, you come to the conclusion that most of the music of today is stolen. Well, it looks like it always bloody was. Songs like this. Hey, Joe, where are you going with that gun in your hand? I said, hey, Joe, where are you going with that gun in your hand? Did you know that the Hendrix classic was actually by The Leaves? And by the way, since I'm talking to Toronto, do you know that The Leaves are spelled L-E-A-V-E-S? Double whammy. Let's take another call, 416-872-1010, if you want to talk about anything. Hello.
Yeah, can you get Benny to tell us who the original artist was and who covered it?
I can get him to tell, and I'll do my damnedest to make sure that idiot pulls in line. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Benny.
I thought I was doing that, wasn't I? Okay, any confusion? I shall try to clear it up. The Hanging on the Telephone, by the way, of course, covered by Blondie. All of the songs that you're hearing, just to be perfectly clear, are the originals. That was The Nerves, and then The Leaves did Hey Joe. From there, we move on to I Love Rock and Roll. Was that a cover? Yes. I saw her dancing there by the record machine. I knew she must have been about 17. The beat was going strong. Now, wasn't this probably the biggest song that Joan Jett ever did? Yeah. Amazing. From there, the thing is, a lot of these artists propelled their entire career on the back of someone else's song. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen now. It happens now more than ever. And now you have to wear a foam finger in a bikini and dance around as if you were some sort of hooker. All right, from there we go to here. That is Cyndi Lauper's biggest ever song, ever. Without question. And I only just found out it's a cover. By Robert Hazard, originally. That well-known artist from, I don't know, nowhere. Robert Hazard, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. She stole it. And then this. Do you remember this? Theft. This is the original, Richard Berry. How many times has this been covered? Motorhead, Black Flag. What was the other one?
Call of Duty and the Raiders.
Loads. Quite a good dance remix of this, as ever you want to stuff it, right? Now, this is no surprise to me, although I have never heard the original. That massive number one hit from a few years ago, still appearing at the occasional wedding. This was originally by Perez Prado. Covering this. I think I prefer the original. It's got a bit of a Cuban vibe. I'm clicking my heels here. Alright, from there, we're doing 22 tracks that you didn't know were covers. I knew this was a cover. I knew it, although I have to say the Fugees did a fine, fine version.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his
Fugees doing, frankly, in my opinion, and I'm not sure everyone will agree with this, a far better version than the original. Laurie Lieberman there. And there, this one blew my mind, it's a mind blower. Betty Davis Eyes, that can't have been a cover, can it?
Her hair is hollow gold. Her lips are sweet surprise.
Next one.
Her hands are never cold.
She's got Betty Davis Eyes. Now this, massive 80s classic from a Brit band. What? A cover?
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain you drive into the heart.
Gloria Jones, originally with Tainted Love. Gloria Jones. Moving on to Soft Cell, of course, in the 80s for the absolute massive, massive record from Mark Almond. From there we go to Here. This is Everything But The Girl.
I didn't know I was looking for love.
I can't remember who covered this. Text me, I can't remember. Someone just texted, did you know the Venga Boys, Venga Buses coming, was originally sung by Elvis? Oh, that's definite hard fact. From there we go to Here. Do you remember Natalie Umbrella? Nice, nice fade, buddy. And do you remember Natalie Imbruglia? She did this.
There's nothing where you used to lie. My conversation has run.
I'm all out of faith. Natalie did a good job. And Aussie soap star turned into a pop artist on the back of that record. Hello, Vinny speaking on News Talk 1010.
Hello, Vinny. You didn't tell us who did the original version of I Love Rock and Roll or who did the original version of Betty Davis Eyes. You're going through too quick.
I'm slipping up. Betty Davis Eyes, Jackie DeShannon was the original. Okay. And what was the other one you said? I Love Rock and Roll.
I Love Rock and Roll.
Was the Arrows, apparently.
Ah, well, thank you very much. It's good to know. Thanks.
Thank you. See, I like people that... I love musos. I love that. I've got... Of all the geeks in the geek world, they're the ones I love. Because they're the ones I can relate to more than any others. If he phoned up and said, oh, you forgot to mention the skill level of Grand Theft Auto 4, I'd hate him. But I like finite, definite information in the music world. I should have done a better job. You're right to slap me down. Next.
We've come a long, long way together through the hard times and the good.
What a sample. What a theft from fellow Brightonian. That means from Brighton, south of England. Fatboy Slim. Originally, like Camille Yarbrough. And what an a cappella to sample. So it's ready to go. Easy.
So fine.
Might have a go at that myself. All right, quickly, do more. This is original BC Jean. Go for it. Wow. The most famous bottom in the world, Beyoncé, taking If I Were a Boy from BC Jean. And finally, how many times has this been done? But this is the original, Bobby Fuller.
I fought the law and the Clash
doing a fantastic rendition of that. To that, there is no argument. And that is a little bit of musical education on News Talk 1010 on a Sunday night at 9:43. Who knew it was going to happen? Yeah, someone that spent the whole day in hospital yesterday and therefore didn't have a great deal of planning to go on the show, but actually managed to get away with it. We're going to take a break and come back with more stuff right here on News Talk 1010.
This is the Venny White Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
So, I hope it's been an all right radio show. I have to admit, I didn't get the usual planning and preparation that I usually have, and I had double the show to plan and prepare. So, it's been all right so far. I was in hospital all day yesterday with an ear infection, and they sucked my ears out. I went through it in graphic detail earlier. I certainly won't do it again because people are barely holding down their dinners. But you're more than welcome to call in and give me sympathy because my mum lives 4,000 miles away and I haven't even told her. She might be finding out via this very broadcast. If so, sorry, mum, I didn't want to worry you. And if you're not listening, thanks for that. 416-872-1010. Have you got any sympathy for me?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Mate, I feel for you. It's got to be absolutely horrendous. I mean, talk about painful.
It is extremely painful.
You know, there are alternative medicine things that you can do for pain in your ear.
Go on.
I've heard. I mean, I just looked this up. I don't know, but some people say you can put slugs in your ear pipes. I don't know what they do, but apparently it'll alleviate the pain.
You think that with an ear infection, the most credible and sensible thing that I could have done, rather than gone to the hospital, was to put slugs in my ears?
You could have tried it. Is it better now? I mean, is it better? Are you feeling any better? Do you need a nice hot cup of tea?
I like the fact you asked me three times in case it wasn't. Yeah, it is, actually. I'm all right. I just want a stroke. Not like that, you filthy animal. I just want someone to stroke my back.
Well, it's a bit far for me, but, you know, on behalf of a virtual stroke, there you go. There you go. You're a good lad.
He's a good boy. Thank you from a fellow British person. If you are Canadian, you're welcome to call in as well. Otherwise, it's a bit nationalistic.
Talk to Winnie.
Yeah, you
Vinny
can.
Hi, Vinnie.
Hello.
Hi, Vinnie. I'm concerned. When you were in the hospital, did the doctor at least look in the other ear? Because if you have wax buildup on the one side, obviously they should have taken the time to check the other side and send you to a very good ear, nose, and specialist.
Very good point. Yeah, they flushed out the other one successfully about a week ago, and then they looked at that yesterday, and that one's doing just fine. I've got to go back in 2 weeks and see a specialist, but they say, at the time being, all I can do is keep taking ear drops.
Okay, and the other thing is, don't get any candling done. Don't let anybody that isn't a doctor do anything to your ears. Do you understand me?
Yeah, I do, but it's weird as you say that. I'd like to clear that up because I've had about 20 texts from people saying...
What does that even mean?
Someone said I have to put a candle in my ear. Is that real?
No, listen, they're all amateurs. You stick to a doctor because you're very important to us, and I wait for your show every Sunday.
Oh, you're lovely, you are. This is sympathy. I'm getting sympathy right now. This is sympathy.
Yes, because, darling, you didn't get cut and stitched up. You got taken care of right away, and you're on your way, and you just have to heal.
Oh, thanks, love.
Okay, next time wear plugs in your ears when you go into the water.
Okay, will do. What's your name?
My name is Liz.
Thanks, Liz.
Okay, bye.
Bye. See, that's what I wanted. Isn't that nice? Heartfelt, genuine sympathy. Maybe I should offer it as a service back. It's not all give, is it? It's not all take. Freudian. It's not all take. Do you want sympathy? I can give you some. In fact, let's just do it. Let's do a generic one. Have you got any sort of soft music that you could play? Just try and find me something soft so I can sort of... Because there are people who'll be listening to this ill. And rather than maybe take, 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 I need to give a bit. I'll give you sympathy. I'm just going to line up some soft music and then stand by. I'm going to make it generic as well. Are you feeling poorly? What the hell's that?
It's Amanda Marshall. I don't love lift me.
What did I say? Line up the 80s? What's going on here?
I just picked the first thing I could find.
I want lyricless, soft music. Maybe some soothing piano. Not a ballad. Goodness sake. I'll get to that in a minute. While he finds music, I'll take more calls. Tell you what, this show's together. 416-872-1010 if you've got anything to say. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Anne.
Okay, Anne, talk to me, baby. Do you want sympathy or are you giving me sympathy?
Well, I'm giving you sympathy.
Oh, yes, please.
Is this because you have to dig up all the covers of every song?
Actually, some of that was quite horrific, yeah.
Yeah, has it been really bad?
Well, listening to what was covered by New Kids on the Block, Step by Step, in its new form and its original form from Annie Lennox was torture. And it's ironic that a man that's just got his ears cleaned out has to go through the torture of listening to that crap.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear about your ear cleaning business. But I was wondering if you could dig up how many covers, all the covers of You've Lost That Loving Feeling.
Oh, that's good. I wonder if that's the most covered song ever.
I think it is.
I know that here's a tidbit of fact for you. And yes, in Britain we say tidbit. How rude. Here's a fact for you. The most remixed song of all time, was Blue Monday by New Order.
Really?
Yeah. No one's ever remixed a track that many times. There's something like 300.
So the most remixed song is Blue Monday by New Order.
Fact. And we're looking up this loving feeling right now.
Okay. Well, I want to hear every single cover.
Well... we've got 8 minutes left of the show.
Okay, well, get started.
When I said, can I have sympathy, did I phone up and say, can I have someone that replicates my mother and her brutal, forceful nature? Take care, Treacle.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Wow, she cracks the whip. I bet she's a school teacher.
What's the answer? Yesterday by the Beatles has been covered more than 3,000 times.
What has?
Yesterday by the Beatles.
Yesterday by the Beatles has been covered 3,000 times. Yeah, it's not that surprising, is it? 3,000?
According to the internet.
that's the internet. That's fact. 3,000. Imagine that for torture. In Guantanamo, if they really want to upset people, forget waterboarding and that inhumane things, all those inhumane things, torturing prisoners without a trial. Just put on every version of Yesterday. I'd speak by the time the first track was over. Okay. Piano music, please. Soft. Are you feeling rough? Are things not going your way? Difficulties with health? Maybe your ear, your nose, or other cavities. Did you accidentally wedge something in your anus? Well then don't worry, because we're here to give you the sympathy that you need and you deserve. You're a great person. You've done well in life. You don't deserve to feel this way. If I could hug you, I would. You need to look at the world around you and realize that soon it'll be better. We really hope it will, for your benefit and the benefit of everyone around you. But in the meantime, just bear in mind that you're a special sausage, and you, and many others like you, although you feel bad now, we really do sympathize. On behalf of Vinnie Elliott, News Talk 1010 and Bell Media. What do you think? It's pretty good, wasn't it? They should put one of them in every ad break. I mean, it would be patronising, condescending, and damn right irritating. But if on the off chance that you just tuned in and you felt bad, it would fix you right up. I hope that helped. 416-872-1010. We've got about 5 minutes left on the show. I was going to do my diary. I don't think I will. What do you think? It's too short, isn't it? Too short. I'll do something else. Just so you know, by the way, I've got a couple of things to say. just as well, because we've got 5 minutes to fill. I'm going to be doing on this show soon my African diary. I hope it's not too me. I hope it's not. I went to Africa last year and I've been meaning to play it on the radio for a while. It's a 4-part diary and each part's about 25 minutes long. And I've been meaning to do it on this show. But every time I nearly get around to do it, the show finishes, which is exactly what's going to happen tonight as well. But soon, coming to News Talk 1010, I travelled 8 countries across Africa last year, and I recorded the whole journey, and sort of me in you know, markets and villages in Botswana and Namibia, and cruising down an African delta and all that kind of stuff. And I did it really because I've got a terrible memory, and I can't remember whatever I do, and I'm very audio driven, and I figured it would be interesting to do an audio diary, and so I stuck it up on the internet. You can download it if you want. It's at vinniewhite.co.uk. And we were thinking about playing it on the show. Well, just little parts of it. Just play a little teaser, just a little bit of what we'll play when we do actually get around to play it. Well, it's a few days later since I first talked to you in Kenya, and I've already crossed the first border, and here we are in Tanzania. And I am sitting around with my newly found friends. Aw, hey. You're in my tent. You have to be my friend, or at least pretend to be, for just 2 months. Yeah, so I'm sitting on a grass plain. There's some eagles flying overhead because something's dead nearby, and or maybe vultures. There's a snake park down the road that we've just had a look at. And so we've just got off, well, yesterday, we got off the truck and made our first tent camping situation. Staying in a small tent, 2 people. And here is my official 2-month-long roommate. Hello.
Host.
What's your name? Where'd you come from? And am I or am I not the best camping friend in the world?
I'm Dominic from Germany, the place where you get the best beer, I guess. It's not actually Tusker that's the best beer. I wanted to correct that. And yeah, you're snoring a bit, but it's fine. It's okay.
You can't have it all. To my left, we have more.
So I'll leave that there for time being because I haven't got time to do the whole thing. But soon, well, probably on this show, and if not, certainly online. You can download it if you're bored. vinnywhite.co.uk. You can get the whole African diary. And it does get quite a lot better than that. Some of it's from a ship out to sea where I am feeling incredibly seasick. And there's all kinds of things that happen as we spot elephants through the safari. A very fortunate time. Very lucky. I feel very privileged to have gone there last year. And I feel probably a good idea to have recorded it. So I hope you're doing well. I hope TIFF's been good. I have noticed there's been quite a lot. I've been away all week, but I've been watching the coverage of TIFF. And one of the things that always gets me is those people that hang around outside. I think they're called hounds. Star spotters. Hounds. Distinguishable. Hanging out in packs. They often wait in cars across the street from hotels where celebrities are known to stay. I don't understand them because I read that actually most of them are doing it to sell them on the internet. Several of them were seen at the Fifth Estate Gala waving pictures of Benedict Cumberbatch for the British actor to sign. Once they get the autograph, they sell the photos on eBay, said this article in the Ottawa Sun. So I looked up how much a Benedict Cumberbatch picture is on eBay. It's at most, it's about $9. Or, well, a signed one. And they go up to $199.99. Now, I was thinking, $200, it's $10 for the print, that's $190 profit. If you're out there for 4 hours, that's $47.25 an hour. Is it worth it? Not really, because you only get about a 1 on 4 success rate of getting your autograph. So therefore, really, if you do this for a living, and I say living in inverted commas, if you try to get people's autographs and then sell them, if it's 1 in 4, then it's probably, to the best of my calculations, $11.81 an hour is the most you can make, which is just above minimum wage, which means you might as well work at Taco Bell. Because you get a similar money and make people happy by serving a peculiar version of Mexican food, as opposed to hanging out with scummy paparazzi desperate to be in stars' faces. So there you go. We'll see quite a lot of them throughout TIFF as it goes on through the week. Thanks for muddling through with me. It's been a great show here and there. I don't think it's been the best, but for someone that's just got out of hospital, it wasn't too bad. I'll be back next week. You're an absolute charm, a pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.